ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Nanayana namaskrityam Naranchaiva narottamam Devin sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udidayet Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavatam sevaya Bhagavad-yudama shroke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, text number 33. Nadyo Sya Nadyo Tat Tanuruhani Mahiruha Vishvatano Nipanja Antavirya Shavasitam Matarishva Gatir Vayaha Kama Guna Pravaha Nadyosya Nadyota Tanuruhani Mahiruha Vishvatano Nipanja Anantariya Svasitam Matarishva Gatyevaya Kama Guna Pravaha Nadyosham Nadyotam Tanuruhani Mahiruha Vishvatano Nipanja Ananta virya svasitam matarishva Gatyevaya kama guna praviha Nadyotam tanu ruhani Mahiruha Vishvatano Nipranja Ananta Virya Svashitam Matarishva Gatyevaya Kama Guna Pravaha
Thank you.
Dhyota Tanuruhani Mahi Ruha Vishwa Tanur Nipranja Ananda Virya Svashitam Mahatrisha Nadyasya natyota tanunuhani Maruha vishwa tanoni penja Ananda virya sushita manishwa Katyeva yakama tunakava
Madhajis.
Ananda Virya Svashitam Matarishva Katyeva Yakama Guna Prabhaha
Natyaha, the rivers. Asya, of him. Nadyaha, veins. Ata, and thereafter. Tanuruhani, hairs on the body. Mahirudaha, the plants and trees. Vishvatanoho, of the universal form. Nipa Inja, O King, Ananta Viryaha, of the Omnipotent, Shrasitam, breathing, Mata Rishva, air, Gatihi, movement, Vayaha, passing ages, Kama, activity, Guna Pravahaha, reactions of the modes of nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body. The trees are the hairs of his body. And the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Purport. The personality of Godhead is not a dead stone, nor is he inactive, as is poorly thought by some schools. He moves with the progress of time, and therefore he knows all about the past and future, along with his present activities. There's nothing unknown to him. The conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the three modes of material nature, which are the activities of the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:12, the modes of nature act under his direction only, and as such, no natural function are blind or automatic. The power behind the activities is the supervision of the Lord. And thus, the Lord is never inactive, as is wrongly conceived. The Vedas say that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do personally, as is always the case with superiors, but everything is done by His direction. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without His sanction. In the Brahma Samhita 5.48, it is said that all the universes and the herds of them, the Brahmas, exist only for the duration of His breathing period. The same is confirmed here. The air on which the universes and the planets within the universes exist is nothing but a bit of the breath of the unchallengeable Virat Purusha. So even by studying the rivers, trees, air, and passing ages, one can conceive of the personality of Godhead without being misled by the formless conception of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that those who are much inclined to the formless conception of the Supreme Truth are more troubled than those who can intelligently conceive of the personal form of the personal form. Om Gyana Timinandasya Giranjana Shrakaya Chakshu Uminitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtan Stapidan Yena Buddhare Swayan Rupa Kadamahyan Dadati Swam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutam Padakamanam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Lagunatavitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastude Tapta Kamchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindava Nishware Vishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakau Patalubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnanebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhatra Shri Vasade Gola Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nadyosya, Nadyota, Tanu Ruhani, Mahiruha, Vishwa, Tano Nipanja. Ananta Viryaha, Swashitam, Matar Vishwa, Gatyevaya, Kama, Guna Pravaha. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body. The trees are the hairs of His body. And the omnipotent air is His breath. The passing ages are His movements. And His activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So there are many wonderful points in Srila Prabhupada's purpose. The first one captured my mind is Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the modes of material nature. And the modes of material nature is acting under the direction of Lord Sri Krishna. See, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna, he actually confirmed this point. There's a very nice verse, confirmed by the Lord. Krishna says, Maya Dyakshena Prakriti Suyatesha Chanam Chanam Hetu Nanena Kunteya Jagat Vipa Nivatate. Krishna says that this material nature, which is one of my energy, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Just like, see, I have a watch here in my hand. So it is made from different parts. The stainless steel case and the mechanical watch movements inside and the watch bands, etc., you know. So if I, you know, put all these parts in my hand and I throw all the parts into the air, so all the parts will fall on the floor. So I'm asking you, after 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or millions of years, will all the parts automatically come together and become a, you know, watch like this or not? So there's no, you know, it's not possible unless there is a intelligent person who knows how to make the watch and put all the parts together. Otherwise, it's not possible, right? So similarly, behind this gigantic universe where we are living now, so there must be a, you know, intelligent brain behind it. Of course, we human beings, you know, we do not have that kind of intelligence to create the sun, the moon, the earth, you know, the whole universe. But that doesn't mean there are some higher being or God who can create everything. Right? So there must be some higher being or God create everything. You see, in the past, there is a great scientist, Newton. Because Newton, he believed that God must be there, you know, create everything. Actually, he is the first pushing force for the whole gigantic universe. You see, so in his laboratory, he made a sample of the universe. He made the moon, the sun, the earth, a very small, you know, universe sample, and he connected with the handle. Yeah. So when he moves the handle, then the sample of the universe moves exactly like the gigantic, you know, universe. And one day he invited all his friends. Many of his friends, you know, they do not believe the existence of God. They think that this universe is there. It's natural there. It just happened like that, you know. They were thinking like that. So Newton tried very hard to convince them that behind the gigantic universe, there must be a higher being with higher intelligence create everything, put all the moons, sun, and stars together. So one day Newton invited them to come to see his, laboratory. So when everybody comes to the laboratory, so he moved the handle, and the small universe start to move exactly, you know, like the gigantic universe.
Yeah.
And all the friends, the great scientists, they were really amazed to see that.
Yeah.
So immediately they are asking Newton, oh, where did you get this model of the universe? Can you tell me? Did you made it yourself? Where did you get it? And Newton answered, you know, one day I wake up and come to my laboratory. The model of the universe is suddenly is there. It comes from nothing. Newton answered like that, you know. And his friend, obviously not very satisfied with his answer, you know. And they told Newton, you know, we are not just small child, you know. Your universal model is there. It must come from somewhere. Either you made it or you bought from somewhere. And then Newton told them, yes, actually this model was made by me. I personally made this universe model. And then Newton asked them, so when you see the universal model, immediately you are asking who created, who made it. But why don't you think that before the real universe, there is no creator? Why don't you think like that? And immediately all his friends and the scientists, they have nothing to say. Yeah. Previously, they are always fight, you know, that, you know, this material universe is, it's just there. It happens like that. Or comes from a big explosion like that, you know. And now, by seeing the universe model, nobody can say anything. So Newton's idea is very clear. Like there's some intelligent person to make the universe model. So similarly, there must be some higher being, intelligent being or God, who can make the actual universe. Yeah. And the and actually in the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, this verse, Srila Prabhupada, he explained that the relationship of this material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that the relationship of this material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like that of a fragrant smelling of a flower and the flower itself. So when there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person. Yet, the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. You see, in today's verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually, he quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text number 12. Prabhupada, he quoted this verse because it is very nicely described, you know, the relationship of the material world and the personality of Godhead. So let's take a look at this. Chapter, the verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada in today's verse. It's from the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text number 12. yechaiva satvit ka bava rajashas tamashas chaye mata eve atmata eve titam vidi natvaham teshu temai. Krishna says, know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I'm in one sense everything, but I'm independent. I'm not under the mold of material nature. For they, on the contrary, are within me. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he very nicely explained the relationship of this material world and the personality and the supreme personality of Godhead. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that all material activities in the world are being conducted under the three modes of material nature. Although these material modes of nature are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna, he is not subject to them. For instance, under the state laws, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subject to the law. Similarly, all the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna. But Krishna is not subject to material nature. See, it's very clearly, probably very clearly said here that, you know, this material nature actually is coming from Krishna. Yeah, just like the fragrance of the flower comes from the flower. Yeah. But Krishna is not subject to the material nature. Yeah. Therefore, Krishna is niguna, which means that these gunas or modes, although issuing from him, do not affect him. Yeah. Just like the king, you know, he may create the laws, yeah, but he is not affected by the law. Yeah. Because he is the lawmaker. Yeah. So this is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also described that this material nature, because it's coming from Krishna, so it's also divine. Yeah. Devi hesha guna mayi mama maya durachaya mam evaye pravatyante maya evam tarantite. Yeah. That this material nature, because it is coming from Krishna, it's actually very difficult to overcome. Yeah. But one who surrenders unto Krishna can easily cross beyond it. Surrender to Krishna means, you know, surrender to a bona fide representatives coming from disciplic succession. So we are very fortunate that, you know, we have a such bona fide spiritual master coming from the disciplic succession. Yeah. So Maya is material nature is very, very strong. Even great personalities like Brahma and Shiva, sometimes they are put into illusion. They are covered by Maya also. So in this regard, I want to read a story about Lord Shiva, how he became allured by Maya. Of course, Lord Shiva can never, because he's he's actually a special avatar of Lord Krishna. Just like milk and yogurt. Krishna is like Krishna is milk, and Lord Shiva is like yogurt. It's, their relationship is like that. But for some Leela, you know, there was one time, even Lord Shiva, he was put into an illusion by Krishna's Mohini Muti form, incarnation. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, it is described how Lord Shiva becoming lured by Krishna's Mohini Muti form. Because there was one time, you know, the demons and the demigods, they are churning the ocean of milk in order to get the nectar. So Krishna wants to give the nectar to the demigods first. So in order to allure the demons, so Krishna came as a Mohini Muti form. So she cheated the demons and gave the nectar to the demigod. So at that time, you know, those demons, they were so attracted by Krishna's Mohini Muti form. And when Lord Shiva heard about that story, he came to see Lord Vishnu and asked him, "My dear Lord, can you show me that Mohini Muti form?" And on hearing the request of Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of God said, when the demons took away the jug of nectar, I assumed the form of a beautiful woman to bewilder them by directly cheating them and thus to act in the interest of the demigods. O best of the demigods, I shall now show you my form that is very much appreciated by those who are lusty. Since you want to see that form, I shall reveal it in your presence. Now, Lord Vishnu told Shiva like that. And then, after speaking in this way, the Supreme Personality of God, the Vishnu, immediately he disappeared. And Lord Shiva remained there with his wife, Upma, looking for him all around with moving eyes. And they cannot find him. Thereafter, in a nice forest nearby, full of trees with reddish pink leaves and varieties of flowers, Lord Shiva saw a beautiful woman playing with a ball. Her hips were covered with a shining sari and ornamented with a belt. Because the ball was falling down and bouncing up, as she played with it, her breast trembled, and because of the weight of those breasts and the heavy flower garlands, her waist appeared to be all but breaking at every step. As her two soft feet, which were reddish like coral, moved here and there. The woman's face was decorated by broad, beautiful, restless eyes, which moved as a ball bounced here and there from her hand. The two brilliant earrings on her ears decorated her shiny cheeks like bluish reflections, and the hair scattered on her face made her even more beautiful to see. As she played with the ball, the sari covering her body became loose, and her hair scattered. She tried to bind her hair with her beautiful left hand, and at the same time, she played with the ball by striking it with her right hand. This was so attractive that the Supreme Lord, by his internal potency, in this way, captivated everyone. And then, Lord Shiva saw this beautiful form of the Lord. So while Lord Shiva observed the beautiful woman playing with the ball, she sometimes glanced at him and slightly smiled in bashfulness. As he looked at the beautiful woman and she watched him, he forgot both himself and even his wife, Uma, his most beautiful wife, as well as his associates nearby. Not only Lord Shiva's wife, Uma, was present there, but there are many servants. Lord Shiva's servants were also nearby. But Lord Shiva, he has forgot everything because of the Mohini Muti. Yeah. And when the ball leaped from her hand and fell at a distance, the woman began to follow it. But as Lord Shiva observed these activities, a breeze suddenly blew away the fine dress and the belt that covered her. Thus Lord Shiva saw the woman, every part of whose body was beautifully formed. And the beautiful woman also looked at him. Therefore, thinking that she was attracted to him, Lord Shiva became very much attracted to her. Yeah. And then Lord Shiva, his good sense taken away by the woman because of lusty desire to enjoy with her, became so mad for her that even in the presence of his wife, Uma, he did not hesitate to approach her. The beautiful woman was already naked, and when she saw Lord Shiva coming toward her, she became extremely bashful. Thus, she kept smiling, but he hid herself among the trees and did not stand in one place. His senses being agitated, Lord Shiva, victimized by lusty desire, began to follow her, just as a lusty elephant follows a she-elephant. Yeah. After following her with great speed, Lord Shiva caught her by the braid of her hair and dragged her near him. Although she was unwilling, he embraced her with his arms. Being embraced by Lord Shiva like a female elephant embraced by a male, the woman, whose hair was scattered, swirled like a snake. O king, this woman, who had large high hips, was a woman of Yogamaya, presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She released herself somehow or other from the fond embrace of Lord Shiva's arm and ran away. As if harassed by an enemy in the form of lusty desire, Lord Shiva followed the path of Lord Vishnu in the form of Mohini Muti, who acts very wonderfully and who had taken the form of Mohini. Just as a maddened bull elephant follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen. Even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain, and we all know the story that actually Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person. You know, when he, you know, discharged semen like that, you know, his semen became gold. Yeah, that's the power of Lord Shiva. Yeah. Yeah. So, from this story, we could understand that material energy is very, very strong. Even Lord Shiva became allured by this material energy. What to speak of us? Yeah. So we should never play with material energy. Yeah. We should always take shelter of the association of the devotees. Yeah. So I will stop here. Are there any questions and or comments? Yes, Maharaj, please. Please get the microphone for Maharaj. Yeah.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. I'm sure everybody was very interested in the story that you just told. Goes very well with the Western world. Nobody got bored. Nobody walked out. But what I would like to mention is that there's one little point. Can everybody hear me? Yeah. There's one little point, and that is you had mentioned that this is the power of the material energy, but actually, if you go a little deeper into the purports, you'll find that it is not the material energy at all. Actually, that energy is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu can never be assigned to the point of being material energy. He is always spiritual energy. And the very proof of this is that there is no woman in the whole world, including Uma, his wife, who is exceedingly beautiful, could not captivate him, could not take control over him. Actually, he controls her. So that is the difference. He cannot be captivated by material energy or Mahamaya. He can be captivated by Yoga Maya, which is the Maya of Krishna. And that's exactly what happened. Because one can get a wrong impression that Lord Shiva is like an ordinary human being, and actually he's not. And as you mentioned at the early part of the class, is actually he's like yogurt to milk, very closely related. Similarly, Lord Shiva, we have Lord Shiva has a lot of power, but he has now does not have more power than Lord Vishnu. And therefore, Lord Vishnu can control him as he can control Brahma, and he can control anyone and anything. And that is why he got controlled in this case. But ordinarily, no woman can ever control him. Mm. We should try to understand that he is not an ordinary soul.
Mm. Thank you so much for the wonderful point. Your words reminds me in the case of Arjuna. Actually, as a pure devotee of Krishna, Arjuna can never be controlled by Maya. But in order for the Lord to speak the Bhagavad Gita, like Arjuna, right?
Yeah,
in order for Lord Krishna to speak the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he was put in that kind of situation. But actually, he's a pure devotee of the Lord,
Yeah.
It's just for the pastime purpose, I think. Yeah, right?
Yeah, Arjuna actually, in previous incarnation, he was what they call a Shaktivesha avatar.
Mm.
Avatar means one who is divinely impressed or divinely filled with divine energy. Let me put it that way. So. How could he be overcome by the material energy,
right?
You see? And he's a close friend. He's a close friend of Krishna. How can a close friend of Krishna be overcome by material energy? Unless Krishna wants him to be.
Right.
That's the only way he could be. And as you just very nicely mentioned, that he appeared to be overcome by the material energy because he was saying, I have to kill my relatives and I'll kill my cousins and my this and my that. And he acted like an ordinary human being. And he was put under that spell in order to show, if we were in that condition, and many of us might be, how would Krishna deal with it in Arjuna? So he showed how he dealt with it. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. For the soul there is neither birth nor death. I won't go into the whole thing because we already had the class. So the point is that to get that information out, he had to put Arjuna in this apparent illusion. It's apparent because at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Have you heard this with an attentive mind? Are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled?" And what does Arjuna say? He says, "My illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your grace. Mm-hmm. I'm firm and free from doubt, and I'm prepared to act according to your instruction." The very opposite at the beginning. Now I am confused about my duty and I've lost all confusion. What am I going to do? What is my path? How should I act? He's confused. Whereas at the end, he's totally, completely... He says, "I've regained my memory." What is that memory? The memory which I mentioned earlier. The memory of knowing who he is, knowing what God is, knowing what the soul is, and knowing all this has come back to him, and having come back to him, he's prepared to fight.
Right.
Otherwise, it was not because he was in the illusion that Krishna put him in, which, we, as you mentioned, was Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya. We should not think like that.
Mm.
Because a person who's a close friend of Krishna is not under Mahamaya,
right,
unless
right.
Krishna wants him to be. And there is a difference between those two Mayas.
Right. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai. The robbery? You finished?